It's HBR, All Things Considered. Dave Lawrence, so grateful you're with us and offering a heartfelt aloha to treasured guest, guitar hero, and songwriting monster, Steve Cropper, part of some of the greatest songs of all time.
It's like thunder, lightning. Dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. Play it, Steve.
Steve passed earlier in the month, and now we're offering highlights from his 2021 interview in his honor. A gigantic aloha and mahalo, and thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Glad to do it.
So much history is connected to you, my brother. Like Otis Redding, for example.
Well, the thing about it, Otis, was when I heard him sing for the first time, the hair on my arm literally stood up. No artist ever has ever been able to do that. And I stopped him. He said, "What's the matter? You don't like it?" I said, "No, I love it, man. I got to go get Jim Stewart, who owned the company." He was in the control room. I ran up there, and I just knew I was going to lose my job if this didn't work out. I said, "Jim, stop what you're doing. You got to come and hear this guy sing." And he said, "Steve, what do you think you're doing?" I said, "Jim, stop, drop whatever you're doing and come and listen to this guy sing. You're not going to believe this." And he went down and heard him. He went, "Call the band back in. We got to put this down on tape." That's how it all started. That's the first time I heard Otis.
Tell me about when you first got to hear Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, Steve.
Boy, he called me from the airport, flew in, and he said, "I just want to check, make sure you were at the studio," because we weren't going to record till the next day. And he said, "I'm coming right down from the airport. I'm coming down." He flew in on his own plane and called me as soon as he got to the phone. And to make sure I was there, he said, "I've got a hit. I'm coming right down." So he walked in with his guitar out of a case, of course, like I always did, and started playing me the first verse. And I went, "Whoa, man, that is really good." And he started that song in Sausalito when he was out there. Al Jackson, our drummer, he said, "I'm reading this book about Stax, and in there you're talking about how Dock of the Bay was started." He said, "I stayed in that boathouse, Bill Graham's boathouse in Sausalito, the week after Otis stayed there." And I said, "That's where he started the song."
Wow. Do you remember your last time seeing him?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, he popped his head in on a Friday, and we cut that song probably a week and a half, 2 weeks before on a session. That was, we thought, the best song we had written in 2 weeks. And he popped his head in. He says, "Well, I'll see you Monday." I said, "Okay, man." And I was setting up to do the guitar licks. So he never heard the guitar licks and never heard the waves and seagulls and all that stuff.
Man, such an insight into that. And equally, Wilson Pickett in The Midnight Hour, you co-wrote with him.
I remember that Jim Stewart and I picked up him and Jerry Wexler at the airport. We checked him into the hotel, and Jerry says, "Well, Jim and I are going to go off and have a meeting. You guys just start writing." "Okay, what are you going to do?" We looked at each other like, "What? Start writing." So I'd had this idea in The Midnight Hour based on some old gospel songs that he'd sang on. And I didn't know anything about Wilson Pickett. I really didn't. So I had to get an education. Jerry came back from dinner with Jim and said, "I just want to check on you guys, see if you got anything." We played him in The Midnight Hour and Don't Fight It. He said, "Whoa." He said, "Keep that. You just keep writing." And so we wrote one more song, I'm Not Tired. We wrote three that night, cut all three the next day. All three went up the charts.
And as if co-writing and playing on In the Midnight Hour and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay wasn't enough, you're not only playing on the Sam and Dave classic Soul Man, but you're mentioned in it, the famous line, "Play it, Steve."
I'm glad he did. He probably hates himself for kicking himself for it. Anyway, the day before the session of Sam and Dave, Isaac comes back.
Isaac Hayes.
And I was logging tapes or mixing. I don't know what I was doing. He said, "Cropper, I hate to bother you. I know you don't want to be bothered when you're doing something." But he said, "I know that David Porter and I have written a hit for tomorrow's session for Sam and Dave." He said, "But I can't come up with an intro." And I was sort of known at Stax as an intro guy. And he said, "Get your guitar, come down to the piano." And I said, I did. And I'm hooking up a guitar. And I said, "Well, play some changes." He said, "Well, just play me something." I said, "No, you play me some changes." And I started playing those, what we call hammer licks, that intro. And he just played some changes, and that's what I played on it. He said, "Man, that sounds great. Let's use that." And I'll regress a little bit. Why Sam said, "Play it, Steve," I had no idea. It was about third take, and it just happened to be the best take, and that's the one we used.
Years later, you're playing with the Blues Brothers, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, and John does the same thing. He also says that, too. Take us to first getting that gig.
That's a loaded question. But he made people aware of Donald Duck Dunn and Steve Cropper. Somebody asked me recently, what do you want on your tombstone? And I said, pray it's Steve. So how did I get into the Blues Brothers band? The story that I have is John Belushi heard Lee Von Helm and us play the Palladium New Year's Eve. And he happened to be there. And he made a comment to somebody and they told me, and I wish I could remember who it was. He said, if I ever put a band together, I want that band. Well, he got almost that band, and Tom Malone was in that band. And Tom, the trombone player, wound up being the director of the Saturday Night Live band. So when Steve Martin asked John and Danny to open these shows for him, he was doing 9 shows at the Universal Amphitheaters during the summer. They were on hiatus anyway. John says, you know we don't do stand-up comedy. And Steve Martin says, I don't care what you do. And John says, can we play music? He said, sure, if you want to. That's when he decided to put the band together. So he goes with Tom Malone and he said, Tom, he said, I've got these gigs we have to open for Steve Martin. And Steve was a writer. His connection to Saturday Night Live was he was a writer for Saturday Night Live for a long time. And then he had that hit record, King Tut. Since we're on radio, King Tut.
Right.
Yeah. And so Belushi asked Tom, he said, we've got to open for these shows. Should we take the whole Saturday Night Live band? And Tom at the time said, you better get Dunn and Cropper because they're old road dogs. And we had done 2 world tours with Lee Von Helm and that band. And that's how we got in there. And I remember him calling me. I was working on a Robin Ford's album, mixing it. And I had about 3 songs left. And he called me and nobody, the Swiss board had their orders. If I'm mixing, you do not disturb me. So that's what we did. So I thought about it. I said, there's only one guy, a friend of mine, worked at the publishing company, and he'd call and say he was Stevie Wonder or he was the president or this, that, and the other. And so when they said John Belushi's on the phone for you, I just picked it up and said hi, and so I hung up. And I did that twice, and about the third time Belushi said, he said, Cropper, don't hang up, it's really John Belushi. He said, I need you up here right away. I said, I can't get up there, I'm in the middle of mixing an album. I remember Robin Ford, after I hung up, he said, who are you talking to? I said, John Belushi, he wants me to come in, rehearse with the band and open these shows for him. And Robin says, well, I'll do it. And I said, no, you won't. I called John back and I said, if you could wait 2-3 days, I'll be up there. So I went to New York and rehearsed with him. And we came back to LA and did the shows. That started it.
Big part of your life is also the Beatles, which has so many different connections to you. Take us back into the beginning of that. I guess when Brian Epstein came to Memphis to explore having the Beatles record at Stax.
You read a lot, I can tell. He did. The reason we didn't do the album, there's a couple of reasons, but the main reason was he didn't think security was strong enough in Memphis. I was fortunate enough through the years. I played on Ringo's first solo album, John Lennon's rock and roll album. I played with George live on the Bob Dylan special. But Paul and I, we've met several times, and every time we see each other, said, you know, we got to work together sometime. We never did do it.
Who was the first one you met?
I think it was at the Bag of Nails. 3 of them showed up. George was not there. So I met Paul, Ringo, and John at the same time, 66.
And then do you remember when Ringo approached you to do that record?
Yeah, that came about after a Grammy Award thing that they were all at. The plane left Nashville, went to Memphis and picked up some people, especially me. And I sat up front with them and had a blast. And Ringo says, well, man, I'm starting a new album. It's Sunset Sound. Why don't you come up and play on it?
You mentioned John Lennon's rock and roll album. What's your favorite moment of either recording that or spending time with John?
I think spending time with him after the session. He asked me, he came over and said, can you stay after this next song? I said, sure. He said, I've got this riff I want to play you. And he said, I was thinking about Booker T and the MGs when I did it. They went to New York and finished the album. It's a little song called Beef Jerky. I heard it by accident. They said, John Lennon's new record is out. I said, good. Here's a quarter or whatever. I go put it in a jukebox and play it. And Beef Jerky came on. And I said, man, that's Beef Jerky. I said, I helped write that with Lennon. Well, I'm not listed. And it was on his new record, Imagine, and they took it off immediately when I called them about it.
Wow.
I did. I said, you know, I'm part writers on that.
It's very cool, Steve. The great Steve Cropper. I appreciate all your memories you're sharing, Steve. I'm giving you a big hug and a high five. I hope you had a lot of fun.
My pleasure. I'm glad to do it.
Stay safe, brother.
Thank you very much.